Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is special coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. I'm Brian Lehrer. The Takeaway and the BBC NewsHour are being preempted for this today. Hurricane Sandy was such a multi-headed hydra, as we've been describing. It left destruction and challenges in so many parts of our area. With us now are the county executives of Rockland and Westchester, the Cross Tappan Zee tag team of Scott Vanderhoff in Rockland County and Rob Astorino in Westchester. Thanks to both of you for coming back on together. The last time, as you'll remember, it was for the new Tappan Zee Bridge debate, and now I'm sorry it's under these circumstances after the storm. Good morning.
Good morning. Scott, how are you?
Good morning, Brian.
County Executive Astorino, what's the biggest challenge you're facing now? Is it along the Sound around Mamaroneck?
Everywhere in Westchester. It's not isolated. Northern Westchester is almost completely in the dark. You have scattered major outages around the other parts of Westchester. There are some areas that have power, but the now you get to the point where the storm is over, you've got sunny skies, and people are getting very frustrated, and they want the power back on, and they want it on now. And we understand that, and I'm going to be on the phone in about a half hour with the president of Con Edison. I met yesterday with the president of NYSEG, and we're in constant communications with them. And I think we just want to make sure that they have the resources necessary here in Westchester, and I'm sure Scott feels the same with his utility company in Rockland, that they're not being diverted to New York City. We've been told they're not, and we need to make sure that both Con Ed and New York State Electric and Gas are doing what they can rapidly to get people hooked up again. Now, we understand there's a lot of issues with that. There are trees down. There are live wires. The transmission lines themselves have had damage. The substations have damage. So there are things that are being done out of the public view, but the public is starting to get a little antsy and even worse because they don't necessarily see a crew or a truck in their neighborhood, so they assume nothing's being done. But we're staying on top of them, and we will continue to communicate with them to make sure that they are communicating with the local communities and doing with the communities what is necessary and the priorities. First and foremost was life and safety. We needed to make sure roads were cleared and hospitals had emergency power, those kind of situations. Now it's let's get people back online as fast as we can. We have about 200,000 people, 200,000 customers in Westchester without power. So that equates to hundreds of thousands of people.
And County Executive Vanderhoff, you want to pick up on that? It sounds like Con Edison is becoming the focal point of a lot of people's frustration.
Well, they are, and Rob's exactly correct. It's similar here. Two-thirds of Rockland customers were thrown out of power as a result of the storm. And so in addition to the tremendous damage along the Hudson River with a surge of 8 feet or so, both in Piermont and Stony Point, residents are sitting and trying to be patient for the most part, but they're losing patience because they don't see the trucks out there. They don't see as many as they think that should be. And, of course, it's getting cold at night, and you've got all that part of it. So there's an awful lot of frustration. I think, we all understand the magnitude of this storm, and it didn't just take down a line here or there. It blew up transformers, and it broke substations, and circuits are all out over the place. So the Orange and Rockland Utilities, which is, by the way, a subsidiary of Con Ed, have got crews have come in from all over, from California included, and they're trying to get back up. Now, as of 6 this morning, I'm advised another 15,000 customers were back up. That leaves us at probably 45,000 to 50 who are still waiting. And as your discussion earlier, it goes in pockets. There are places where it just whole communities and neighborhoods are completely out. And then you go another 5 miles, and everybody's on. So it's very difficult. And, of course, they've told us 7 to 10 days after the storm. But I tell you, with all of the modern conveniences taken away from you, people are understandably upset.
And listeners, I want to – one second, sure. Rob. I want to open up our phone lines for – listeners from Rockland and Westchester for the next few minutes, and I apologize to some of you who are holding on who are going to get bumped. Because of our own power problems here, we only have a few lines. We usually have twice the number of incoming listener caller lines that we have today. So we're going to bump some of you who are on hold because we want to clear the lines right now for anybody from Westchester and Rockland to call in when we have just a few minutes here with your county executives. You can tell them what you need. You can be specific and personal. Yes, you can. And you can also just reflect the situation in your town or on your block. So the phone number, if you're in Rockland or Westchester right now, is 646-829-3980. And again, those of you who are regular listeners, you know that's not our usual call-in line because of our own power problems. 646-829-3980. If you're in Westchester or Rockland, 646-829-3980. For the county executives of Rockland, Scott Vanderhoff, and Westchester, Rob Astorino. Rob, you were going to say?
I think what's making it worse, just from a human level as a parent, parents are now fourth day inside a house with no electricity and probably screaming kids. And it's tough to keep them occupied because there is no TV. You can't really get around. And so this might be the first day where the weather is nice enough where parents are actually going to take their kids outside or go somewhere. But you got to be careful. If you're in a neighborhood that is still kind of dangerous, you can't go anywhere around it. We dealt with trick-or-treating yesterday and some calls for us to cancel Halloween, which I didn't do, but I did try to put out a warning to parents that you have to be adults. You know, this is when you're a parent. Kids might want to go outside and it's fun, but if the neighborhood is not safe, if you can get to a neighborhood that is safe, go there. Or just don't do it. It's not worth going out and get a candy bar and putting yourself or your children in jeopardy. So hopefully parents heeded that warning. But now we're dealing with, as Scott Vanderhoff is dealing with in Rockland, people are starting to get very frustrated, and we certainly understand them. We can't climb the poles. If we could, we would. But we can stay on top of the utility companies, and we are.
Scott, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to add, we have two daily briefings with the utility companies, one at 10 o'clock and usually around 2:30. I just wanted to mention another thing. Rob is correct. It's the same thing here in Rockland. The other thing in Rockland is gas is a short commodity.
Yes.
And you've got lines everywhere for the few gas stations that are either open or those that are open who don't have gas anymore. And so there's a great deal of frustration and difficulty at these gas stations for people to get around and, in fact, for those who have generators to get gas or generators.
Scott,
is
it that gasoline is having trouble getting to the gas stations, or is it that there's just so much increased demand now because so many people are using generators?
I think it's both, and I think it's a combination of inability to get some of these gas stations. First of all, it has to do with the gas stations that are out of power. Until yesterday afternoon, a lot of gas stations simply had no power, so there was no gas. And those few that did, unfortunately, were, you ended up with lots of cars and potential for accidents. And now as the gas stations have come back on, of course, there's been a tremendous demand because people are afraid both not to be able to drive and generators. And in some places it's hard to get around, so supplies have been more difficult. So I think it's a combination of all three things.
And one thing we're doing proactively here is we're having our Department of Consumer Protection go around the county to survey gas prices and other commodities that are very important now, A, to make sure that there is enough supply and to warn the public if there isn't, but also to have a slight little warning to businesses that they better not be gouging at a time like this, that we're watching that, because this is when everyone needs to help each other out. And that is not only illegal, but it's immoral, too, so they should not be doing any of that. We haven't seen any of that widespread. We've seen certain instances of it where it might be a little fishy, but no real widespread gouging yet.
Let me take some phone calls for you from some of your constituents, okay? Here is Alicia in White Plains. Alicia, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. We're just not sure where to listen for updates and information. For those of us who don't have power, just have a cell phone, and it's not a smartphone, and we have you know, a battery-powered radio. Where can we listen for updates in Westchester?
Alicia, that's a great question, because we're doing a lot of press conferences, putting out a lot of press releases, but it does no good if people have no power and they can't get on the Internet to go to westchestergov.com. We are trying to do as much radio, and that's why WNYC is very important. We're trying to do as much radio as possible because, first of all, I'm a big believer in radio, but all you need is a couple batteries and you can stay tuned, because with cable out, it's very difficult to watch News 12 or any of the New York City stations. So radio is very, very important. If you do have access to a location where you can get Wi-Fi, westchestergov.com is probably the number one source, because we're pumping out as much information throughout the day as possible.
And Alicia, you want to tell us what information you're the hungriest to hear? What are you waiting to hear, or what are you looking to find out?
Just updates on how things are going, or, I mean, this was from yesterday, but whether Halloween was being canceled in areas. White Plains is very good with phone messaging, but just knowing what else is going on, or even what else is needed to help others. It's very hit or miss if you're listening to a radio station and you don't know which one is getting the most information.
Right. And it is hit or miss. I mean, I'll admit it's hit or miss on this station, because we're trying to cover so many areas, as we've been discussing all this hour, affected in different ways. It's not like we're going to give concentrated White Plains or Westchester County information over and over and over again that's particular to your neighborhood. So to the extent that government information, official information, is available through different media, that's obviously a big help. Let's go to Charlie in Yorktown. Charlie, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi. Good morning, Brian. I wanted to first make a comment and then ask a question. I'm in Yorktown Heights, a place that I think I've only lived here for a year, but I think is notorious for its blackouts. Even when it just drizzles a little, sometimes we'll get it. No power. In the last day or so, I've seen no trucks dealing with trees leaning against power lines and transformers. The only trucks that I've seen, tree trucks that I've seen, are on private property removing trees from people's yards and such. But I'd like to ask a broader question, more about why do we still allow the utilities to keep these lines above ground when putting them underground seems to make so much more sense, especially in a place like Yorktown, where it's notorious for having power outs.
Okay, well, Charlie, I'll take that, and then I guess, Scott, if you relate to something in Rockland. Charlie, I think one of the biggest issues we have here is I met yesterday with the president of NYSEG, and you have NYSEG, Mark Lynch, and we had a very candid and frank discussion, which wasn't always pleasant during that hour. But one of the things that I was stressing is there needs to be, A, better communication, and not only with the public, but there needs to be liaisons directly between the utility company, in this case NYSEG, and the local municipality, in your case, Supervisor Michael Grace. So each community has somebody on the ground, and they can direct them to the most priority areas. The problems we've had is you've got your own DPW crews that are ready to clear trees and roads, but there are wires hanging down, and they can't do anything because they don't know if they're energized or not. And so a line crew has to be there to certify one way or the other, or to kill the energy. And that's been the biggest frustration, is that you've got local crews ready to go. So we're talking with NYSEG and really starting to crack the whip now that they need to get in there. Their biggest priority first was the main transmission lines, which had damage, and the substations, which had damage. So all of the other stuff means nothing if they can't fix the central location. With regard to the overhead wires, you know, Westchester is built out in many ways, and all of these, unlike New York City, because of the buildings where everything is underground, but New York City found out that's not perfect either, because everything was flooded out, and the reason from 40th Street down to the Battery is all without power still, right, is because the electrical grids were all destroyed in the water. It would be about $1 million a mile is the estimate to bury the cables and everything now. So I think it's probably not practical anymore, except for maybe new developments could do it.
And something for over time. And
yes.
Rockland County Executive Scott Vanderhoff also with us. You know, when we only have 5 phone lines, it's the roll of the dice, and they all got filled up real quick with callers from Westchester who happened to get in. It's just a little bit of randomness here. But go ahead and answer the same question in Rockland terms.
Well, now I can tell you that my phones in the office keep ringing, so I know they're frustrated people out there. And, you know, Rob is correct in all respects there. The cost is prohibitive for a place, even a smaller county like Rockland, geographically smaller. In small areas, we tried to get some underground lines put in even in a small little village, and the cost was so heavy, and the difficulty in rearranging everything was so difficult that it just became prohibitive. That being said, the concern that we have in Rockland is that since deregulation of utilities, the entire man force of these utilities has dropped in some cases. And you go through, it seems to me in the old days, and I'm talking decades perhaps, there was a faster response, a better response to the major events, and there seems to be fewer people. You know, we work so much on technology that that perhaps the linesmen aren't as many of them. And so when we go through these emergencies, these big, tough storms, we don't have the kind of response that we would like. And in this case, and Rob alluded to it earlier, I mean, because our entire region, New Jersey, Westchester, Long Island, New York City, et cetera, Connecticut, there's no place to turn to get extra help. So you're looking to fly people in from California or do private stuff. So it's terribly frustrating. And I know watching, and I'm sure it's in Westchester too, Rob, you know, looking at trees hanging on lines for days and days without a single person even looking at it, it drives everybody a little bit crazy.
We're
just about out of time, and we're going to talk later too. I think Congressman Bob Turner from Queens and Brooklyn, his own house in Breezy Point burned down.
I know it.
So
know
just
it.
Because, you know, you're an elected official doesn't mean you're immune. I know.
My whole neighborhood has no – I have no power in my house for – this is now day three.
I have no power either.
And you know, I've got to run on to our next segment, but I just want to ask if either of you have – boil water alerts anywhere in the counties that you're familiar with. We were talking earlier in the hour about these being scattered around New Jersey, and that's another threat that we're trying to protect people from. Scott, is there any such in Rockland, or that's not a problem there?
No, it is a problem. We had a boil water order earlier in the just after the hurricane in a couple of parts of Rockland County. I don't believe right now there are any more boil water, but that's subject to double-checking.
Yeah, we're constantly monitoring all the water. We have no boil water alerts at this point. Alicia had mentioned earlier another information spot, not only westchestergov.com, but our 211 system, dial 211 through the United Way for all this information as well.
Oh, that's a great one, too.
Brian, very quickly, before I let the supervisors go, I would like to just point out that it being very expensive, I don't think is an answer. We have to deal with it at some point. Generations of people will need electricity from the grid. It has to be dealt with at some point. That's my
absolutely.
Comment.
Charlie in Yorktown, thank you, and you'll get the last word. And we thank Scott Vanderhoff, the county executive of Rockland, Rob Astorino, the county executive of Westchester. We'll keep checking back with you.
Thank you, Brian.
Very good. Thanks.